Welcome to episode 33 of Autograph Weekly, streaming live in Walking Dead.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Hi, I'm Tom Tulia Hardy, Quint from The Sandlot.
And this is Marty York, Yaya from The Sandlot, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacey Schaefer.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
And I'm Mike King.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until the zombie apocalypse. Guys, we are recording this live at Ustream.tv. It's at 4 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, which is a change. The last live show we had was later in the day. This is going to be normal now, so if you want to listen to the show live, you can. It's going to be a little bit raw. You're probably listening to this on a podcast, though, which will be edited nice and neat. But if you're watching it live, it's raw. You may hear some stuff that you wouldn't hear on the normal podcast, so go check it out. It's at Ustream.tv. Just search for Autograph Weekly. We have a newcomer to the show this week. It is Mike Kane. Mike, introduce yourself.
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. Big fan of the show, so figured I'd try and jump on. I do mostly in-person autographing with a little bit of TTMing, but it's pretty much all in-person for me for the most part. So I figured I could lend some slight expertise, I guess, in that if anybody had any questions or... figure I could help out in that.
And you live up in Boston, correct?
The Boston area, correct.
Yeah, so you get the Bo Sox and a lot of music events, sports events. Mike does a ton of IPing that reaches a lot of different areas, so he's going to be a really cool addition to the show. All right, let's move on to the news. Stacy, what you got?
All right, my news story is concerning Cam Newton, and he did an autograph signing, which was actually yesterday. Just wanted to do this real quick and get some feedback from you guys on the prices that athletes are charging, especially Cam Newton only in a second season. The prices that he was charging for this signing, it was $125 if you wanted a photo signed, $150 if you wanted a football signed, and $175 if you wanted a jersey signed. And any kind of inscription that you wanted to add cost an extra $50.
Craziness.
And there was a follow-up that I saw before we went on that he actually had. I believe they said roughly 300 people show up to pay for the autograph. So.
Well, it's still not Willie Mays level. Willie Mays is way up there. Of course, Willie Mays is a proven legend, and Cam Newton's, well, not. But yeah, I mean, today's players are obviously going to charge more and more as it goes along. They're going to blame inflation, and they're not getting paid enough. Millions of dollars just isn't enough. If they're signing for charity, okay, whatever. It's a little different, but it's just part of the hobby. It's going to go that way, and there's nothing we can do about it. People want to profit from everything these days, so. All right, Mike, what you got?
Well, I have an article that I thought was interesting. A lot of people collect autographs for the simple love of the hobby. Some people do collect them as investments, and they look at them as money. So he said the top five autographed investments: Neil Armstrong, Muhammad Ali, the Beatles, JFK, and Princess Di. I just found that it was interesting that most of them seem to be going up, between 10 and 20% a year as far as a value goes. And I found it interesting that Neil Armstrong and Muhammad Ali are the only ones still alive, and yeah, their autographs are still through the roof. Obviously, they don't sign a lot, but it's definitely an interesting article.
Yeah, I mean, rarity comes into play, obviously, there, because I think Armstrong stopped signing in 1994, and Muhammad Ali, ever since his Parkinson's has been getting worse, he's declined in signing. And if you got him TTM, you probably got an auto pin, just to tell you, you might want to check that out. He did sign a few TTM. In the 90s, he signed a lot TTM. He actually signed the flyers that his religion. And that was the way of him making sure you kept that flyer, is he signed it. So that was kind of his way of spreading his religion. But after that, he stopped signing that, and he started doing the auto-pin photos. I think it's him in a suit, and it's auto-pinned on top. And there are a couple of those that are authentically signed also. But, yeah, he's pretty rare to get, and those guys are always going to be. I mean, they're going to go down in the history books as some of the greatest people of all time, so it definitely makes sense that they always rise in value. My story is an interesting one. We touched on it probably a few months ago, and it's about digital autographs. So I'm going to go ahead and read some of the article to you. It says, even the autographs of Major League Baseball players are going digital, adding a new wrinkle to the sports memorabilia business. E-graphs. So I guess that's the new name for them. E-graphs became the latest company Thursday to offer digital autographs online, and it has four Tigers committed to the lineup. One is outfielder Austin Jackson, but it won't reveal the other players yet. The Seattle-based company is selling personal, written, and audio messages to fans for $50 apiece from a group of 25 baseball players. The traffic to its website was so high on Thursday after some players tweeted about it that it briefly crashed. The company says the problem was fixed. Anyways, so I think this is going to be a trend. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm always for the person actually touching the item, that being a vital part of the autograph. Even if it's a book plate, the person was still, that item was there with the person. And a digital autograph is basically a preprint to me. Now, the voice message, or like an audio message, that's cool. I could see maybe paying $50, something like that, for that. But like the digital autograph part is totally worthless to me. What do you guys think?
Definitely worthless.
Yeah, I have
like
no...
Like you said, it is like an auto pen, and it just... garbage.
I mean, I guess if it's personalized, it adds a little bit of flair to it. If it is written in the celebrity's hand, I could see that being kind of cool. But still, it's not. It doesn't even compare to an authentic autograph.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth the money that they're charging for it. If it wasn't, if it was something that was inexpensive, it might not be. It might be a cool thing to have. But
well, if for 50
when
bucks,
you're talking $50 for. Mm-hmm.
You know what you could do? You could have, like, if you have a favorite player for the Tigers, you could have him record a voice message for your voicemail on your phone. So, I'm Austin Jackson, and I'm sorry Zane Savage isn't here right now. Leave a message. Like, that'd be worth $50 if you're a big fan of somebody. But anyways, let's move on. Jeremy, what you got?
All right. This is not really autograph-related, but it is dealing with sports cards. This has been in the news. It's big news. Basically, E98 cards, they're from 1910. A stash of about 700 1910 E98 baseball cards were discovered in a box under an old dollhouse. The original owner of the cards, Carl Hench, had passed away, and his heirs made the discovery during their cleanup. Basically, these cards were in immaculate condition. I guess the 1910, the PSA, it was a PSA 7 was the best graded card since this discovery. And this discovery, let's see, just looking at the article here, an Honest Wagner from this collection was graded a PSA 10.
Dang.
Which, a PSA what, 10.
Where were and they it, found it, again? This,
like, go ahead.
Were they found, like, under a floorboard or something? Like,
it,
that's
it
a stereotypical.
It was under a dollhouse. It was... like in a box really? Under a dollhouse.
Really?
Which is, yeah. And these cards are just, there's pictures on this website, and these cards are just immaculate.
You know, I wonder if that affects the value of other people's collections. I'm sure that's going to, like, kind of flood the market. I don't know how many of them there are, but it may flood the market a little bit and decrease the other cards' values. Like, the PSA 7's obviously not as cool now that there's a PSA 10. So
this auction's just going to bring in millions and they say up to $3 million this auction's going to bring because there hasn't been any graded cards this high with these old of a card from 1910, a PSA 10 from a 1910, that's like unheard of.
Right.
So there's going to be different auctions. It's not going to be one auction. They're going to split the auctions up, but they're, like I said, they're thinking it's going to bring millions and millions of dollars in, which
that's
is pretty
insane.
Cool.
That's a life changer, man.
Oh,
find
definitely.
Something like that, that's a life changer. Alright, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the history of those cards are just incredible. It's like, even going back to the T206, the Honus Wagner, that card is just... there's been a couple books written about that card and the history of that card alone. It's just incredible.
Right.
And like I said, there were 700 of these cards, so, I mean, I'm sure not all of them were, you know, in that good condition, but a lot of them were, and it's just amazing. And you got to check the pictures out of these. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the web deal of the week. Stacey, what you got?
All right, this web deal of the week, take you back to the disco era. This is Gloria Gaynor, and you can get to this at www.GloriaGaynor.com/store_photos.html. And I actually want you to get to her store. She has signed 8x10s on there for $9.99. And I believe there's like 6 or 7 different photos that you can order from there.
And she's, I mean, a legend in the music industry. I know I use the word legend, everybody makes fun of me for that. But she truly is a legend. She's saying, "I Will Survive," which is, I think, the top song at karaoke bars, if I'm not mistaken. So
legend.
Guys, I'll definitely be doing this deal. So go check it out. Again, the link is www.GloriaGaynor.com/store photos. I'm sure if you just went to GloriaGaynor.com, you can find the page. Let's move on to the Mojo Mailbox, and my week sucked again. Don't know what's going on, but here's what I got. We got Jason Mewes.
Okay, before you start, you really call this a crappy week?
Well, I mean, I'm not... Okay, quality-wise, it's okay. Quantity-wise, this is pretty much all I got. Like, there's nothing past this. There's maybe one or two that I didn't mention here, but...
Well, I'd be okay with this.
Yeah, it's quality-wise, it's good, but... Quantity-wise, I should be getting a lot more stuff. Anyways, Jason Mewes, you know, Jay on Silent Bob, he's Jay, signed my Dogma DVD cover and 3 index cards. Steve Odekirk, who I've wanted for a long time. I'm a big fan of Kung Pao, the movie, and he actually, like, I think he wrote, directed, and starred in the movie. So that was really cool. He signed 2 photos and a DVD cover. Edward Herman, who's in another one of my favorite movies growing up, Richie Rich, signed a Richie Rich photo that was already signed by John Larroquette, and now I only have to get signed by the mom. And got a couple purchases that are freaking awesome. First got Woz, bought a book signed by Woz for $10. It's a hardback, it's called I, Woz, but it has some water damage. I didn't see it until I already bought the auction, which kind of sucks, but I may send it to Woz and see if I can't get a replacement and send him a few bucks and see if he'll switch it out. But the main one I got in this week is freaking awesome. I'm a huge George Carlin fan. I have been for a long time. I found a very rare piece. This is his first album that came out in 1967. And this person bought this album. I don't know where they bought it, but they got it. And they opened it up, and it had a signed photo from George Carlin from the late 60s, before he had the beard, with his long hand signature. Super awesome piece, and I got it for $30, which is a steal. The record alone goes on eBay for around $15-$20. So the Carlin piece, it's already framed on my wall. It's one of my favorite pieces, just because you never see Carlin without that beard, and you don't see his early stuff, and you don't see his longhand signature. It's always his jumbled up GC. So yeah, that's definitely my best grab of the week. How about
definitely,
you, Stacey?
Definitely a legend.
Yeah, definitely a legend. Don't make fun of me. He is a legend. Stacey.
All right, to my top 5, start with number 5 is Robert Taylor, and that is not Robert Tractor Taylor. This is one of the pioneers
that
helped.
Wait, no, that was
internet.
One of the worst jokes of all time. I just have to point that out. That's horrible.
I know.
Isn't he passed away?
I think
Tractor
did,
Taylor?
He?
I
yeah,
think
he
passed
be,
away.
Actually.
That's... Okay, anyways, go on, horrible person.
Whatever. All right, so that was number 5. Number 4 was Julie Nixon Eisenhower and David Eisenhower got an index card signed by Julie and a book and 2 book plates signed by both of them, so that is pretty cool. Julie is the daughter of Richard Nixon, and David is the, I believe, is he the nephew of Dwight Eisenhower, I believe.
She's the daughter of Tricky Dick.
There you go. Number 3 was Alexei Pajitnov, and you guys probably don't know who that is, but he is the guy who created the video game Tetris, so that was a pretty awesome return. Number 2 was Henry Kissinger, just a legendary American icon. And my number 1 is just basically because of how long this took, I got Kobe Smulders in this week. And this was a return that was at least 4 years old, probably closer to 5 years old. So just one of those returns that it came back. It had 2 addresses previous to where I lived, and that was about like I said, between 4 and 5 years ago when I was at that residence. So
yeah, that's crazy. It's always cool to get those returns. You're like, what? Why? Like, the person you're probably sending to doesn't even live there anymore. The odds are. But it always gets to you. Or when it gets to you, it always feels good. Had to happen with Dale Murphy. And I was like, what? It's 6 years for Dale Murphy. And he's notorious for doing that to people. Just, like, waiting just a ridiculous amount of time and sending the stuff out. So, yeah, very cool return.
I said Kobe Smulders. She is on How I Met Your Mother. She was in The Avengers.
Yeah, Stacey's responding to chat since this is a live show for you on the podcast. All right, Mike, what'd you get?
All right. Well, I got Martin Sheen, TTM. He sent me a photo, an 8x10 photo of his own, and I sent him an 8x10 of him and Mark Wahlberg from Departed, which he signed because Mark's, you know, he's from Boston, so he's around here, you know, on a decently regular basis, so I figured I'd complete that.
Sweet.
One of these days. Hank Williams Jr., TTM, sent him one photo. He signed it, sent it back. So I'm pumped about that. Melissa McCarthy from Bridesmaids, I guess you probably best know her for, or Mike and Molly.
Wait, is she the big one? The one that took a dump
yeah,
in the sink?
Yeah, she's the larger of the bunch, I'd say.
Nice.
Yeah, but she was... I got her in person. She's in town for about... I actually asked her. She's in town for 8 weeks filming a movie with Sandra Bullock. So I got her. She signed 2 8x10s and couldn't have been nicer. So if you have a chance, if you're out and about and she's around, she's worth going for because she was super nice.
Very cool.
Saturday Night Live's Dennis Miller was in town. And he signed... I'm working on a stand-up comedy book, and I have about 15 guys in it. So I needed him. So nice. I got him in the book, and I got him on an 8x10. So... he was super nice too, and he actually walked about the half a mile from his hotel to the venue and signed pretty much the whole way for the most part. So people hit him up on everything from microphones to baseballs to, you know, he signed everything though. Super nice. And while I was waiting for Dennis Miller, I accidentally got Chris Rock. So how's that
nice.
For a day?
Accidentally.
Accidentally, yeah. He signed an 11x17 that I had of him, Rolling Stone magazine cover. So
he accidentally fell into your photo. He tripped and, oh yeah. My gosh.
Just well, the photo I admit I had with me because I knew where he was going to be.
Right.
I just didn't know if he was in town still, and he just got out of a car and boom, there you go.
That's really cool.
So that's it.
Extremely jealous.
Do
all
you
right.
get signer in person, usually, Chris Rock?
Chris Rock is a very... he's good enough, I'd say. He won't talk to you really. He barely will motion you over. You'll ask him, and he'll just stop in his tracks, wait for you to come over. He'll sign one and walk off. So he's not uber personal, but he'll do it if you get to him. So
very cool.
All right, Jeremy, what'd you get?
All right, another slow week in the TTM department, but I did get some good ones in this week. Number 5, Zachary Levi, from Chuck, NBC's Chuck, show Chuck. Tim Berners-Lee, one of the internet pioneers. Rachel McAdams, she played in Notebook, Red Eye, a whole bunch of other movies. Next, I got Kevin Garnett and Tim Brown via LV Laker 2. His name's Rodney on YouTube. We did a little trade. He sent me those two, so that was pretty cool. And last is a Right of Star Success coming from Henry Kissinger. And
nice.
Stacey got him in too, so.
Nice. Yeah, guys.
That is a. Go ahead. Cut me off.
I was going to promote my stuff. I said, if you guys haven't signed up for Write a Star.
Do it too, but you cut me off.
Well,
go ahead. You can do it. It's your show.
If you guys haven't signed up for Write a Star, it's only $6 for 6 months. Go to writeastar.com. You can get awesome successes like Henry Kissinger. All right, I'm done. Let's move on to Project Geek a Week, where
right
I believe
mouth.
We're both dry. We didn't get anything in, which kind of stinks.
I did get one, but it was that one I already had before. But
okay, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I sent off to Cinematic Titanic again because I was missing, I think, Mary Jo Peel. She never signed the individual one, so
okay.
I sent it to the cast and had them all sign it, so I had it.
Gotcha. Well, we didn't get any new ones in this week, and also on Project Boob Tube. We didn't get anything else in. So Project Boob 2, I think, is going to be the final update. We're wanting to transition into a new project that's actually going to be long-lasting and has an end. So if you guys, again, have any ideas, please shoot them our way, email, Facebook. We greatly appreciate it. We want something that's going to be very competitive that we're really going to enjoy. So please get those to us ASAP. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. Rackers creates custom cards for the autograph collector. They're perfect for if you're a TTMer or an IPer. If you don't have a certain card to somebody, or if you only have one card to somebody, yeah, you can get out the old index cards and send them to them. But wouldn't it be cool to have a custom baseball, football, basketball, wrestling card to get signed instead of that crappy old index card? It's just a lot more convenient. It looks great. They're great matte cards. Actually, Ruben, who runs the company, actually sent me an autograph card of himself in the style of, I think, a 1954 Topps card. These things look exactly like the 1954 Topps cards. So awesome. Guys, check them out, Rackers.com. If you get some custom cards, use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY. That's one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, and you get a free sample pack of cards along with your purchase. Again, that's Rackers.com. All right, let's move on to the Fantasy League updates. And the Uncancelled Bastards, I think we're getting our ass kicked, right? still every week.
Has that ever changed?
Wait. Yeah, I know. Has that changed since week one? I think that's the only time you guys had
the update. Go on with the update.
All right. This is the best part of the show, just to say. But anyways. All right. Total points up to date are Mel De Mafia with 584 and Uncancelled Bastards with 497. And the week breakdown is Mel De Mafia had 56 points, while the Uncancelled Bastards had 38.
Nice. Okay, well, the Uncancelled Bastards need to step up. There's a guy named Ty on the other team that's kicking our butt. We need some people to send out some major TTMs. And I, like I said, whenever you're trying to get points for our team, don't just send out all Ride a Star requests. Send out some Ride a Star requests, because obviously you get 3 points for each Ride a Star request, or success. And some proven successful addresses. Some stuff that people just get on YouTube, you see, is like, oh, I want to write to that person, they seem cool. Write to them! We need some definite successes to get our points up. Those five bonus points when you get five TTMs in one day, they really help, so...
So you're begging, all this begging and pleading, and there's just a little bit more than a month left. So
make it up, dude. We can make it up.
It is.
What if somebody's like, shoot, I'm gonna send out 500 TTMs tonight, and they send them out, and within a month they get most of those back. If they're all proven successful, they probably wouldn't be. Anyways, it could happen. Don't ruin my dream. Don't ruin my dream. Well, if you get 100 TTMs in one day, mail day, you get some more bonus points. We'll make that rule. We'll throw that
so with that said, Mail Day Mafia, just don't give up on sending TTMs out. Let's do it to the end.
You're 100 points ahead. You can go ahead and give up. Don't worry about it. You guys will be okay. Seriously. You guys got any changes?
All right. This week we are just going to have one change. We are going to put Mike from the Autograph Network in this week, and we are going to put Little Mr. Hardcore on the bench for this week.
So, Robert, you're in chat. You get a week off.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to a little treat we have for you guys. This week on the show, we have Addie Miller. Addie's a young actress, and in my opinion, the most iconic scene from The Walking Dead. She's the little girl dragging the teddy bear in episode one. Welcome, Addie. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Basically, first, we're going to ask you some questions about The Walking Dead. And then after that, we'll have a segment where we ask you all autograph questions. So go ahead and hit her with the first question, Stacey.
All right, Addie. How did the role come about on The Walking Dead?
Well, they just had me audition like every other cast member, and somehow I ended up on set.
Now, what was your initial thoughts after reading the script for the pilot? Did you get to read the script for the pilot, I guess, would be the first question there. And did you have any feelings that the show would be as huge as it is today?
Well, everything was very hush-hush on set, but when it came to getting on set, I was allowed to read my scene and my scene only, but I was super excited about the pilot, and I totally loved it. I enjoyed working with everybody, and it was a blast. I'll never forget it, for sure.
So whenever they let you read the script, you said you only got to read your part. You didn't get to read the other parts?
Sadly, yes.
That's interesting. See, like, I guess from our perspective, you'd think that everybody got to read the whole thing, so that's kind of a cool little inside nugget. Stacy, next question.
All right, where did you actually get to see the pilot episode finished for the first time, and what was it like watching your scene for the first time?
Well, I watched it for the very first time all over TV, and it was, we were having a tiny Halloween party. We only had like two guests over, so yeah, but we were just jumping up and down full of excitement, and yeah, it was very creepy the first time we saw it. We're like, oh!
Now, what was your favorite memory from The Walking Dead or thing?
There was a lot. I loved doing the stunts, but I also liked it when meeting Andrew Lincoln for the first time. He came up and said, "Hi, my name's Andrew," and I'm like, "Hi." He's like, "I'd like to get to know you before I kill you," and that was funny. And I actually got to meet Sarah Wynne Callies, who played Glory, and Frank Darabont, who was the director of that episode.
Right,
he kept
right.
sending her over to have her check on me, and it was really nice, and she was just so shocked when she first saw me. It was like complete terror in her face. It was funny.
You know, I was shocked, actually, when I saw the first interview with Andrew, because obviously he does a great American accent on the thing, actually, when he's actually British. But, Stacy?
All right, what has being involved in Walking Dead done for your career?
It has done a lot. Like, before I wasn't going to conventions. I was barely recognized for anything. And it's gotten me in a lot of places and a lot of roles. And it has done a lot. I mean, just words can't explain how it did and how grateful I was about it.
Right.
Yeah.
We got some questions from Twitter and Facebook here. The first one's, how long did your zombie makeup take to put on, and how many times did it take to shoot your scene?
Well, the makeup took about 2.5 hours, but we had weeks of preparation. Like, I had to do head mold and teeth mold, and they had to measure my eyes for the contacts, and then it came to fittings and, you know, zombie school.
Right.
Yeah, and then, you know, there was a bunch of different shots, and, you know, it was only about 2 to 3 shots each time, so, and falling down, it took, like, 6 times, because I kept, like, falling out of frame. So then they'll have to adjust it, and yeah.
Nice. Stacy?
All right, do you read The Walking Dead comics now?
I'm a huge Walking Dead comic fan. I started reading it after I filmed the show. That's when I found out, oh, it's based off of a comic. I should read it. And I just fell in love with the books, and I'm up to date and excited for the 100th issue. Yay!
Now, one of our followers saw that you posted on Twitter that you had kind of your own idea of how your character got infected. Do you care to share how you think she got infected?
It's quite a story. I just kind of made it up myself. Okay, so her... I don't have a name here yet, so I'm just going to call her her.
Okay.
So her parents just rushed them out of the house in the middle of the night, you know, not telling them what's going on, but there's obviously zombies out in the world. So we are driving in the car, I'm in my pajamas, teddy bear, and then we run out of gas. So we have to go to this gas station, and then somehow we get attacked, and I stay in the car scared, and I guess when I think of the coast clear, I run out, and somehow I got bit.
Awesome. Now we're going to move on to the autograph questions. These are all autograph related, since all of our fans are autograph addicts, as we call them. And Stacy's got the first one.
What was the first time someone asked you for an autograph, and do you remember the situation?
Well, I was in this, my first movie was The Secret Life of Bees, Sam Dakota Fanning, and somebody asked my agency for my autograph, and I didn't know what to think of that at first, because it was my first thing, you know, so I was blown away by that, and it was really cool, so of course I signed it, and like, oh, thank you so much, leave a little note.
Right. Now, did you... Did you practice that any, or what? Did you just go with the flow and just write your name with your first one?
I kind of went with the flow. I was only in second grade, so I just learned how to write cursive. So there's something.
Now, how many autograph requests do you get on a weekly basis through the mail, if you had to guess? I know it fluctuates, but...
It depends if I have a convention that week.
Yeah.
Like, my agency will just send me weekly off fan mail and, you know, do all that stuff. And, of course, sometimes I have to miss out on it because I'm attending a camp right now for about 4 weeks.
Right.
And, of course, I'm busy with the family, so I'm usually signing about 2 to 3 autographs a week, or it depends, really, on when they send it. I mean, I just got a postcard from Disney World with a little luggage tag from a fan, and that was really cool.
That's cool.
It was like his third letter to me, so I like having a little pen pal now.
Stacy?
All right, do you have any autographed items yourself, and if so, what?
That I own?
Yeah, this you own from other people.
Okay, well, I have a lot because, you know, I go to all these conventions, so I can't help but get their autographs.
Right.
I've pretty much gotten autographs from everybody, like from Robert Englund to Jason Voorhees and everybody in The Walking Dead. And it's cool. They get my autograph, too, and we do a little treat.
Right.
Of course, I'm just so psyched that they actually will accept my autograph, you know?
Now, do you have a favorite one?
I don't know. I mean, I love everybody in The Walking Dead, and I've loved everybody I met. Like, I've gone out to eat with a few of them. I don't like them to get that way.
Right.
Yeah, and I love Robert Englund, who plays Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, he's actually known as a very nice guy at conventions. He always has a personality, and he's yelling and screaming while he's signing autographs. He's a really good guy.
Yes.
Now, we've seen you've done several conventions. What was that like the first time doing a convention, and what's it like doing them now and seeing the cast members from that you worked with 2 years ago?
My first convention, I was about 10 years old, and I'm 12 now, and I was a little overwhelmed at first with all the people and, you know, like, all the pictures, and nervous at the same time, because I have all these panels, and I don't know what to expect out of it, and all the costumes, and then I kind of got used to it from then, and then I just get super excited over it. Like, I can't wait to go. I can't wait to see everybody. It's like a reunion going there now because I've just been to so many.
Right. Stacy?
All right. What is the weirdest or strangest thing someone has asked you to sign?
I've signed a lot of different things, from guitars to guns. I've even, like, doodled on a napkin, and somebody actually had me autograph it and buy it, and it was, like, a really bad doodle of a dragon, so.
You know, the gun thing's actually really cool.
Yeah.
I may have to send you, like, an airsoft gun, one of those little pellet guns to sign. That'd be really cool. Now, what are your feelings on your autograph being sold on eBay or by anybody other than yourself? Does that make you angry? Does it flatter you?
It doesn't really bother me as much because, like, some of them just went ahead and bought from me at a convention.
Right.
So, in that end, it's kind of cool seeing yourself on eBay and seeing people actually buy it. Like, out of all these celebrities in the world, you're in there.
Right.
So,
right.
It's kind of an honor. It's weird, but also an honor at the same time. So
exactly.
It's a win-win.
Totally understand where you're coming from. Stacy?
All right, what are your overall feelings on getting fan mail?
I love it. They write the sweetest letters to me. And like I said, they send me stuff. And, like, I've gotten fan mail from Australia, and they'll send me, like, all these things from Australia. And I just love it. Like I said earlier, they'll send me stuff from Disney World, and they'll just keep writing to me and saying how good a job I did on this one film that is a tiny film, but they still went ahead and ordered.
Right.
So it's really fun and really neat.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. What are you up to now, and do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, I'm going to be filming Night of the Living Dead 2012, and I'm so excited for that. It has a huge goal, and I'll be in a scene with Judith O'Day, who plays the original Barbara, so
nice.
I'm definitely going to get some pictures.
Very, very
and
cool.
Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl on The Walking Dead, his little brother, will also be my friend in the movie. So it'll be really fun, and I'm going to also be in a movie called Deer Crossing 2 with Doug Bradley and a few other people, and some things I can't talk about.
Well, you always get those at the interview, at the end of the interview. You get those projects you just can't talk about. Well, Addie, it's been a pleasure. You're a great young actress with a very promising future ahead of you, and we appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And now it's time for TTM and Grab for the Week. TTM of the Week last week, we had Marvin Ford with a TTM return from Neil Patrick Harris going up against Russell Lee, who had a TTM return from Jeremy Piven. And the winner was Marvin Ford with his Neil Patrick Harris, 65% to 35%. Congratulations, Marvin. You'll be going on to the Grab for the Month competition. This week we have Boston Sports Fan 91 with a Steve Buscemi TTM return going up against Ryan Patrick, who got an Evita playbill which had Ricky Martin on it. So pretty much Ricky Martin versus Steve Buscemi. What you got for Graph of the Week, Stacy?
Alright, for Graph of the Week, last week's battle was between Kyle Val and his Roddy Piper in person and Neri Lamas TTM Central with a Kenny Lofton in person. This was actually really close. I just went and checked again right now because it was within one or two votes of each other, and the winner is Neri with the Kenny Lofton. He won 53% to 47%, so that was a real close battle. And this week the battle is between Auto Signature Info, got a Charlton Heston signed book in a trade, and Daryl Val spent this weekend at a Wrestling Hall of Fame event and got a JBL, the former WWE champion, in-person signature. And JBL is pretty notorious in the wrestling world as being a pretty hard signer. So
very nice. Guys, if you want to vote for that, just go to autographweekly.com. You'll see it right on the main page on the left. You can't miss it. This is Graph and TTM of the Week poll. Just vote there on who you think deserves Graph or TTM of the Week. Also, guys, we need your entries. We need to know who's getting the awesome stuff, and we can't always search videos and posts. Actually, we can search posts on Facebook. That's what we want you to do. Go to facebook.com/autographweekly and post on our wall if you have any entries. I could be Graph of the Week. That means, like, IP purchases. If you pull an autograph from a pack, we want to hear about that. That goes in the Graph of the Week. Or if you have any TTMs, awesome TTM returns, post it on our wall. We'll put it in the next show. So just go to our Facebook wall, like I said, facebook.com/autographweekly. All right, let's move on to the feedback forum. Hit me, Stacy.
All right, another solid week of questions this week, and we'll get to them. First one is coming from Robert Bowles. I think he's still in the chat here. If you know or think someone is with or will be around another celeb, do you ask in your letters if they could get the stuff, if they could get them to sign your stuff? If I think Zane has a pretty nice story about this.
Well, if they're married, it's kind of obvious. Yeah, I always go, if they're married, yes. If they're around some other people, I just because they're around them doesn't mean they're going to want to get something signed. But I usually leave it alone. Like, I recently sent an 8x10, a Walking Dead 8x10, to Melissa McBride from The Walking Dead. And I didn't mention in there, I didn't say, hey, could you get the entire cast to sign this? Because I sent it to the actual studio. So I knew she was going to be around these people, but I didn't mention it, just because I felt like it was too forward. Although, when people are married, it's a little different relationship than if you're on set with somebody or around somebody else. I sent to Calista Flockhart, and I sent a picture of her and Harrison Ford kissing, saying it was awesome, the relationship they had and stuff. And I said, if there's any way you can get Harrison to sign, this would be cool. If not, no big deal. It came back. I got a Harrison Ford TTM, which is one of the hardest things to get. So, I mean, it does pay off
if
you do it in the
right situation.
And Zane
screamed like a little girl when he got it in.
Say what? I did. I screamed like a little girl when I got it in. We've been over that already, though.
I still have proof of that, so.
That you're not going to release ever. So, yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it's a good idea in certain situations. I would only do it if people are married. just because they're more comfortable with each other. It's kind of weird if you're working on set with somebody to say, hey, can you sign this? Sometimes people do it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's a little more awkward situation. And I don't want to put a celebrity in an awkward situation. I'm trying to get an autograph out of them. I want to make it as easy as possible. So that's my take on the situation.
But my answer is kind of the same. If I know the person, I mean, I've done this on occasions, but it's always with people I know or sending it to studios and having someone get a bunch of people to sign it. Like, I think me and Zane both did that with Twit, where we sent to Tom, and Tom had a bunch of people sign stuff for us.
Right. Well,
that's usually...
We had previous... he'd already agreed to do that for us, so... If somebody agrees to it, and you're not just, like, putting it in the letter with the item, kind of demanding or asking it, if you ask it through an email or something and they say yes, then yeah, of course that's fine. But, like, if you're just kind of forcing it on them with one letter, one item, I see that as a little more intrusion, you know. I don't think you should do that. So, Jeremy, you got anything else to add?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I haven't, just for, like, TTM purposes, writing to an individual person, I haven't done this, but I guess for playbills, when you got a celebrity on Broadway doing a play, you're basically writing to, you know, stage manager to get them and other people too. So I guess
that's their job, though. That's kind of like part of their job. So, yeah, I mean,
but
that's
I mean, instead of just writing to the celebrity by themselves, say, hey, can you sign this, and get other people to sign it, just write to the stage manager, hey, can get, you know, cast sign. Playbill.
Right.
Kind of the same thing, I guess.
All right, next up.
All right, this one is coming from Ryan Patrick. He is asking, who would be on your list of top five celebrity TTMers?
We don't like to talk about, like, the best signers or anything, because then they get flooded with stuff. There are a few people that I will mention, just because they've signed for years and years and years, and they've been amazing. This is more of a celebratory thing. I don't want you guys to just write off to them because they're on those lists. But you've probably heard of them already. That's the only reason I'm mentioning them. It's because everybody who is in this hobby knows that these people are spectacular at return times and at signings. So three people came to my head. James Earl Jones, which currently he's not signing well because he's on tour a lot and he's doing Broadway plays. But for years he's been a spectacular signer. Bobby Doerr. Gosh, that guy, I couldn't imagine how many autographs he's signed through the mail. He's signed since the 70s, probably earlier than that, just getting in tons and tons of mail. Every item you send him, he signs. He's a Hall of Famer, which makes it a rarity to find somebody like that. Just a great guy. Bobby Doerr has a heart of gold. And another one, icon in Hollywood, Lauren Bacall, another one that just signs and signs and signs. She'll sign anything you send. It's authentic. Usually when you ever have a situation like that, like Debbie Reynolds, it's usually secretarial, not with Bacall. She signs all of her stuff. She's getting up there in age now, guys, and she stopped signing for a while, and her signature is getting different. It's starting to get shakier. But, gosh, that woman has signed so many things, and these people, I mean, they really take care of their fans, and that means a lot to people that are in this hobby. So those are the ones that I can think of.
And I'll agree with the chat room. A couple of people posted Virgil Trucks is another tremendous signer. Carl Erskine is another guy in the sports world that signs everything. Carl, when he signs, is really nice, especially if he sends photos. He's always writing about what happened in the photo, what the photo was about, the situation around the photo.
Anybody else got any?
Martin Sheen's a good signing too. Through the mail.
Yeah, definitely. Some people are just really, really great to their fans, and they realize that autographs are a way to give back, and they take that seriously. So it's always cool to have those people around, and kind of we were actually thinking about doing a segment on the show where we honored certain people for doing it. The problem was we didn't want people to get flood them, since I mean our listenership is going up greatly, and we have a lot of people that listen. They say, oh, that person's a really good signer, I'm going to send off to them. That's not necessarily a good thing when somebody gets flooded. Granted, it probably wouldn't phase these people, since they've been through so many mail floods. It's probably ridiculous, but yeah, that's the reason we didn't do the segment, is because we didn't want them to get flooded. Anyways, next question.
All right, next one is coming from Matt Maniac, if he's still in the chat room here. He is asking, the most elusive autograph you have not gotten but want, and the most elusive celeb you have yet to meet.
I on the meeting thing, I'm probably not a good person to ask. I don't do IPs. This mic will probably take over for that part. But on the most elusive autograph, probably John Hodgman right now. I sent him a really good letter, but I made a kind of a dirty joke at the end. And I don't know if he got offended by it, but he still hasn't signed my stuff. So that's probably the one that sticks out in my mind. I'm sure, you know, I'm about to write to him again, and when he sees my letter, he's going to be like, that son of a... You know, so that's probably the one that sticks out in my head right now. Again, I don't have really one on the IP end.
Yeah, I don't have really anything on the IP. As far as the most elusive, I've gotten so many of these this year that I've talked about before. Probably the one now, but I think I'm actually going to end up with this here probably in the next week or so, is Stephen King. Just because there was that brief window of a few people getting them back TTM.
Oh, yeah. That brief window when we were like, dude, you better get your TTM out tonight. And you said, okay, I'll do it. And you got your TTM out a week and a half later, and you stopped signing in between then?
No, it was. Okay, it was that Thursday, Friday. I sent out that Monday.
No.
No,
you didn't. It was like a week and a half after, bro. I remember you said, I'll send it off. And it was like a week and a half after. I'm like, you aren't going to get them, man.
I think it was after I got mine in the mail.
It was, yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Because I got mine in 6 days.
Yeah, I got mine.
Yeah, I sent it like the day after Boss got his.
Right, and that's like a week and a half. Well, I got mine in a week. It's about a week, maybe a week after.
I sent mine the day after LV Laker 2 got his.
I had my letter like written by the time he was done with this video.
But the moral of the story is I'm getting one, so.
Okay. Sorry, we had to dog on you a little bit, Stacey, because we were like, dude, you got to get this sent out. You're like, I'll get to it.
Somebody in chat mentioned Stan Lee, too, and that'd be a good one, too, because he's very
picky.
Hit and miss, and there's a lot of talk if he's actually signing you TTMs or not.
True.
But,
all right.
Does Boss have anything?
You got the IP version of that, don't you?
I could probably hit that. I'd say the most elusive autograph but want is probably Bob Dylan. I've had him one-on-one, just me and him before, and didn't go well, wow. But, I was as close as I probably could have gotten, and I really want to meet Tom Petty. Unfortunately, in the tour he's on now, he's not swinging through Boston, but if he was, I'd try and get that done. So, I know most people's elusives probably is Bob Dylan. He's a tough one. But like I said, I had him, just me and him, and, he walked with me for about a block. And that was it. So,
wow, man, that's still, you got to walk with Bob Dylan. That's pretty cool, man.
I wish there was a camera around at least to capture the moment. Yeah. But
yeah, okay. Next question, Stacey.
Next one is coming from Alex Joritz. He's asking, have you ever met a celebrity on the street at a non-scheduled event?
I know Mike probably has a million answers here.
Yeah, I've met a lot of celebrities on the street, and. The one thing that I could probably get into, you know, in a further segment is when you see a celebrity and off the clock. When they're off the clock, you really got to be mindful of that. They're not out promoting something. They're not filming something. They're not going to sound check. They're just like, they're like us. They're like normal people. And you have to just keep that in mind. But I think we can touch more on that later.
Yeah. Mine, I guess, would be Coach K. I saw him at a basketball event, just going into the basketball event. But I've told that story a million times, so you guys got anything?
I don't think I've ever really been or ran into a celebrity that I wasn't at an event or something. You don't get too many celebrities walking the streets in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So.
All right, next question.
This one is coming from Butch Phillips. He's asking, who has been the rudest celeb when trying to get an autograph, either IP or TTM?
Mine's Mark Pryor. I went to a Cardinals-Cubs game, and that's back in 2001 when he was, like, at his top, his peak. And, he was a total douche. Sosa was, too, but Sosa didn't even acknowledge us. So, I mean, that was probably mine. You guys got any?
I'm sure Mike's got some.
I definitely have an... Actually, to... to hit on your Mark Pryor, he's pitching AAA for the Red Sox now.
Really?
So I just haven't made it down there. I keep meaning to go down there for him.
Oh, I'm sure he's a great signer now.
He's probably softened up
a little humble.
Bit. He is in AAA.
Yeah.
So, you know. But the rudest I've ever gotten is the lead singer for the B-52s, Fred Schneider. I don't know if you know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Love
Shack.
Oh,
Yeah.
All right. Fred, the singer of the B-52s, is almost nasty, like almost to the point where he's just like, you think he almost wants to fight you. Like, he gets really up close to you, and he's like, I'm not signing for you, and I had two albums in my hand. And he went in, he's like, are you going to the show? And I'm like, yeah, man, my ticket's at Will Call. And of course I'm going to go see the B-52s. So they go in, and they're super nice. Tour manager comes on, she goes, anything you guys have, I'll bring them in for you, and they'll sign them. So I gave her my two albums. They both came out, and the one album that he did see in my hand, he did not sign. So I have one album that's complete with the whole band other than Fred on it. So
dang.
He's a miserable one.
He's a douche.
Totally.
All right, next question.
All right, this is a huge question. This is coming from Charles Lovell. So how do you want me to handle this one, Zane? Do you want me to read through...
I'll go ahead and read through it. I'll read through it, and I'll kind of try to answer it myself.
Okay.
Since I have a question for you, you're all welcome to use it for your next show, but it's rather detailed. So basically, it says, with a bit of wit and age sophistication, I've moved on to collecting larger and multi-signed pieces of memorabilia. I've recently begun to look into how to display these items. I'm looking to purchase or build a very large display cabinet. And this leads me to the following questions. Are there any particular woods that are good or bad for storing memorabilia? Is there any particular glass or plexiglass I should use or avoid? Are there any plastics that could damage memorabilia? Are there any metals I should avoid? What about shelf lining papers? Should I add humidity controls? What humidity and temperature should cards, photos, jerseys be stored at? What kind of lighting should I use? And anything else I should keep in mind? Well, first off, we're not going to be able to answer all your questions because I, for one, don't worry about archival materials too often since I don't have anything that's been ruined by non-archival materials. But if you're going to build something like this, you're going to want to go to your Home Depot or Lowe's and ask for things that are archival material, basically things that aren't going to taint your item. I'm not sure exactly what kind of wood you would want to use and stuff like that, but somebody like that should know like what wood's going to be best. If they don't know, I guess go to Google because I'm sure somebody's done some kind of tutorial on the net on how to build some kind of memorabilia shelf. You guys have any experience with this? Because I've never actually built anything specifically for archiving things. I don't even use... Sometimes I have some acid... People say you use acid-free, photo archivers. I have some that aren't even, acid-free that I use. Just because I haven't had anything ruined. And I'm sure the day I have something ruined, I'm going to worry about that stuff. But I really don't have any information that's going to help.
I think worst thing is sunlight. You don't want sunlight beating on anything,
absolutely.
Books, autographs.
Or any light. If it's a constant light shining on an autograph, it's going to fade. It's just going to happen. Sunlight's really bad, but even if you just have a regular lamp that's always on and mm-hmm. something's in the way of the lamp, like shining directly on it, that's going to fade. So, yeah, that's the main thing is you definitely want to keep light as far away from it as you can. What you might want to do is, like, if you do build some kind of archival shelf, have a little pull light at the top of it so, you can turn it on and shine it on all your items whenever you want to, but make sure you turn that off every once in a while, again, because the light will damage it. But do you guys have any, have you guys built anything for your collection? Anything to add to this?
No. I mean, I've seen, videos. I've seen, a couple of my buddies back home in New York, they've had, collections. They have, helmets, basketballs and stuff in, what do they call curio cabinets or something.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not going to really affect anything, but... the wood, I don't know. I don't think the wood really
I don't think the wood would affect matters. It. I can't see where that would affect it.
Maybe for books, I think maybe the humidity and stuff might have an issue with the books, with the pages, maybe.
Right.
But I mean, with being signed in pen, I just don't think. As long as they ain't getting sunlight on, I don't think it's gonna.
It might even be cheaper just to go out and buy a curio cabinet or something like that rather than build it. Because I don't think they do have archival material, and I know those exist, but yeah. I don't know if they have archival wood. I don't know if that's a thing. Some of this stuff you're going to run into where it's the exact same thing if you just bought it rather than make it. Or you might just buy maybe a bare model of something and build it from there. Like, add what you want. Add the lights. Maybe add some shelves. Like, kind of, you know, don't start from scratch. Just get something that's kind of bare and build what you want out of it. Because, like I said, I don't think the wood's going to matter much. But anyways, I think that's the best way we can talk about this. It's not up in our expertise since we don't do a lot of archival stuff. But just keep it out of the light. That's the main thing, I think, to learn here. Next question.
All right, this is coming from Charles as well. He's asking, what is the oldest piece in your collection, and what is the greatest historical figure you have in your collection?
Oh, gosh. Need somebody else go first. I'm going to have to think.
I guess I'll start with the oldest in my collection. I don't even have an answer for that, because I don't have anything that's really that old. But for the greatest historical figure, I've mentioned this in numerous podcasts, but it's probably my Richard Nixon. Just, I mean, he's a president, and, you know, I love my presidential signatures, and, you know, I love my tricky dick.
Mine's going to be, and you know, we talk about these every podcast because they end up being the same ones, but probably my Henry Halford, who was the physician to King George III. That's probably my oldest that I can think of. I do have some Parliament signed stuff, some just random members of Parliament signed on parchment paper from back in the 1800s. But that's the Halford I know is from the 1700s, so I'd say that's my oldest. The most notorious historical figure, I guess, would be the Joseph McCarthy, who started the McCarthy era and the Red Scare. So I guess that's my choices. And I'm not going to elaborate because, again, we talk about them every podcast.
As far as my oldest, it's something, I think, from the early 1900s. That's something that Zane sent me in a Just Because, one of the first Just Because's we ever did, but I can't remember what. It was some letter or something, but it was dated, I think, from the early 1900s. And as far as historical figure, I'll probably go with J. Edgar Hoover probably is mine.
Mike, what you got?
Yeah, as far as oldest, I probably wouldn't have anything since, like I said, most of mine sort of in persons. But right. my favorite historical figure that I got recently was Clint Hill.
Nice.
And if you're familiar with Clint Hill, he was in charge of Jackie Kennedy, and he was the one that you would see climbing on the back of the car, you know, at Dealey Plaza in Dallas for the assassination. And I got him on his book, which is amazing. You should pick it up. And I got him on an 8x10 too. So he's probably my favorite. Nice. Very interesting.
All right, Stacey, next.
Next one from Ryan Michael Moberly. What is your favorite multi-signed item?
Tears for Fears, I guess. Just because I'm such a big Tears for Fears fan, it was a big thing when I finally got a Tears for Fears dual signed. It's actually an album cover. That's because I'm such a huge fan. I know I have cooler ones to other people, but Tears for Fears is such a big band for me. That's my favorite. I did, however, have three, and Dodgers cards from 2002 that I sent off to as many 1952 Dodgers as I could. It was signed by like 9 guys, and a few of those guys passed away like a year later. I freaking sold them like an idiot when I sold my collection. But it had like Preacher Row, it had Duke Snider, Dick Williams, I think it had Joe Black. Just a bunch of those great 1952 Dodgers, and like I sold it. Like, now today it'd be worth so much money to have a card signed by all those guys, but yeah, don't have it anymore. Another one was Johnny Padres, and yeah. Anyways, that's mine.
I got two items here that are pretty epic. These were all obtained in person. One, it's probably my Walking Dead poster signed by 6 people. It is signed by Madison Lins, Chandler Riggs, Michael Rooker, Norman Reedus, Eddie Miller, and Irony Singleton, and it is gonna. It's a project that's gonna be continuing to get more signatures on it. And probably the next thing is my Boondock Saints 2 poster, which is signed by Sean Patrick Flannery, David Delarocco, and Norman Reedus, with some awesome inscriptions on there. So that's probably my two favorite dual multi-signed items.
Stacey?
As far as mine, I've got a couple of them. One would be my Sandlot 8x10. I'm working on right now. They got three signatures each on them, and they're going to have a fourth one here soon. They've got Patrick Renna, Chauncey, and Marty, and then David Mikey's going to be on there. And then the other one, probably my Empire Records 27x40 movie poster I got. This one of my top two favorite movies. It's got Renee Zellweger and Ethan Embry on it. So
nice, Mike.
I think I have two. My first is a book. That in being a Red Sox fan, it's a book by Johnny Pesky called The Chosen Few, and I've managed just to any Red Sox player that even played a game, I'm trying to get him in the book, and I've been going at it about 5 or 6 years. I'm up to 158 guys.
Wow!
So It's yeah, some of the pages you can't even. It's just like Sharpie. So recently, when the Red Sox had their 100th anniversary, they just brought. And like busloads of players, and I managed just to like, and they all had name tags on too. It was amazing, and I managed just to get as many as I could. So 158 now, and I'm still missing a few biggies, but it's going to be a it's going to be a lifelong project, I think. And my next one would probably be an E Street Band signed LP that I got in person. So
now, do you have a list of everybody that's in the book? Because that can get confusing sometimes.
Yeah, I actually have like I have a list, and I did get Yaz, and but Yaz, unfortunately, I paid for. He's the only paid for autograph in the book. But yeah, I have an updated list on which page they're signed on, and because as you know, people's autographs don't a lot of times look like what their name is,
right?
And so you gotta keep it updated, but yeah.
Well, I actually forgot to mention this. I do have the My America Project, which has almost 90 signatures in it now. From
rub it in.
Coretta Scott King to say what, Jeremy?
Rub it in.
Yeah, rub it in. Yeah, I have a few more than the other guys doing the project. I started before them. They copied my project. Coretta Scott King, Buzz Aldrin, Dick Clark, Walter Cronkite. Bunch of different people in there, so that's a really cool project that I've been working on that I totally forgot about. That would probably be my best by far multi-signed item. So all right, let's move on to the next question.
All right, this one is coming from Kevin Wallace, and the first part of this question, Kevin, we will ask Dave the next time he's on, but he's asking, do any of you other guys have a large amount of one set of cards signed?
Yes. Topps Fan Favorites, I've been collecting it since 2003 when the set came out. I actually got rid of a bunch of them back when I sold my collection off, but I'm back up to like 150 now, which is about a full set of one, but sadly it's not because it's scattered between three sets. But that's definitely, it's the greatest baseball players that are still living, basically, and they made it for 3 years. Amazing set. It's all the designs are old designs with new photos. So and they try to make it like a specific year for somebody. Let's say if Maris wasn't in the set because he's not alive, but if Maris had a card in the Topps Fan Favorite set, it would be a 1961 Topps card with a new photo in it that's never been released by Topps. So all the cards were that way. It's a beautiful set. It's been a pain to get a lot of them, but I still got 300 to go, so about a third of the way done. That's definitely the one that comes to mind for me. How about you guys?
As far as mine, I was in a phase a few years ago where I was going to attempt to work on some trading card sets, so I've got a handful of sets that have probably 50 to 100 cards, 89 Upper Deck, 88 Score, 86 Tops, 87 Tops. There's 80 and 82 Tops. I think I have a decent amount into, but those are just such time-consuming and hard projects to work on. You kind of go for so long, and you just kind of, if you're not serious about it, not concentrating around one item, one of those sets is kind of a hard thing to keep working on.
You guys got any sets, Mike?
Not me.
Jeremy?
I have one. I just started in April working on the 2012 Topps Heritage set.
Nice.
And I'm 60 cards into the 425, I think, base cards. So
now Heritage seems like a very popular set to get signed. I think it's because of the matte finish. That's one of the biggest things.
Yeah,
you don't have to,
worry about getting rid of that gloss. Yeah. So.
All right, next question.
It's like the Allen and Ginters too with that matte finish.
Yeah.
Those
yeah,
are pretty
exactly.
cool. Those look real nice signed.
And they're painted, so the painting kind of adds to the signature too. Next.
All right, this is coming from AJ Kaiser. This is kind of on the same topic. When you are completing a set to get them all signed, and some players' autographs are unobtainable, TTM or IP, if they're deceased or they just don't sign, what do you do?
There's a couple things you can do. Obviously, eBay comes to mind first, but you're going to pay a little bit of money, especially if they're deceased. The best thing you can do, if you're collecting any kind of sports card set, is to find a friend that's collecting the exact same set. Because what you can do is, you're going to buy lots of stuff on eBay in that set. The doubles that you have from those lots, you can trade away for doubles that you don't have from the other person. So make as many friends that are collecting the exact same set as you, and it's going to benefit everybody in the long run. So I think that's the best thing you can do for the people you don't have. You guys got any
other
tips?
I would agree with that. I mean, you're going to have to search the internet, search eBay, search auctions, other auction areas, and search forums and stuff. There's some good forums out there with people that have cards and stuff they're selling.
If you're in a community like Star Tiger or YouTube, let people know that you're collecting that set. So if they get a card in, they know. Like, I know there's a guy named Funky Diabetic on YouTube. He collects the 1989 Topps set. If I ever get any 1989 Topps cards, I automatically message him and say, "Hey, man, do you need this card?" Once you build a reputation for building that set, people are going to offer you cards from that set. So that's another way to easily build your collection. So, all right, next.
Hey, Zane. Kevin what? Wallace wants to know if you write or hand type your letters.
You know what? Next question.
All right, the next one's coming from Grant Hacker. He's asking, how do you guys feel about email TTMs?
I think they were a great idea when email was young. Now it's pretty much, I say emails are left for permission. You can email somebody to get permission to send or ask for an actual address to send a self-addressed stamped envelope. I know, like, I get a few requests through email. People ask me to send them autographs. And even I say, I'm not even a celebrity. And even I say, just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. You know, it's only going to cost you less than a dollar to do it. And I'll sign whatever you want. So it just, now that I can see the other side a little bit, because I'm in no way a celebrity. I can only imagine what actual celebrities go through when it comes to signing through email. I'd say most of the people that sign through email, that stuff's set up by their agency. They just sign a buttload of photos and they send them out. Their agency takes care of it, not actually them. But it's a dying thing. It's not going to last much longer. There's very few people that actually still sign through email. Usually they're weathermen and stuff like that. So I think it's more polite to send a self-addressed stamped envelope. So I'm against it now. I used to use emails all the time. You know, as anybody who on a budget obviously does. Fan packs and stuff are different. Those are coming from teams and corporations, people's jobs. That's actually in their job, is to create fan packs, send them out. So it's different than just sending to somebody for an autograph. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't do emails that often. I mean, maybe 5 a year, maybe. Writers and stuff are pretty decent about signing stuff through TTM. Book authors and stuff are usually pretty good that way, but.
Yeah, it's true, and you know, if they're willing to do it, I guess that's cool. Especially if they, if they're notable, and they maybe have a secretary to handle it for them, I don't mind them doing an email. But if it's somebody who's just getting started and only has one or two books out, and you're just basically emailing them to get an autograph, I don't agree with that. You should at least, you know who the person is, or do your research to find out who they are, or read something of them that they wrote, for God's sake. So I think email
is the big thing in that area. I don't use email very often, but I use social media all the time. I mean, I use Twitter and Facebook all the time for this kind of stuff, getting permission, getting addresses, and
it's a good communication tool.
Is such a pain anymore that
It's a good communication tool. It really is. You guys got any other opinions?
I was just gonna say, like you mentioned earlier, that you know, if you're on a budget or something, you know, email's probably the way to go. I mean, I've sent a couple out to college sports coaches, which that's basically the only way they respond to fan mail, I guess you could say, is through email. So, I mean, it really depends who you're writing to. Newscasters and I think college sports coaches is probably the way to go for email TTMs.
Right.
Unless you really want something specifically signed, like a book or something, then you could send it to the college. But I think send something to the college, it's going to get lost somehow. So it's just better to email them personally.
Right.
So.
All right. Next.
All right. The final question coming from Grant Hacker as well. What's the coolest inscription you have on an autograph?
Before I answer this question, if anybody has a question in chat, go ahead and put that now. We'll try to answer that at the end of the feedback forum. Mine's probably going to be Amy Sedaris. She played in Strangers with Candy. She was Candy. She was in Shrek. I think she was the queen. She is notorious for her dirty humor. I think she actually signed some of the photos back in the day. Pee on me. Yeah, pee on me is how she signed them. But I actually specifically asked her in the letter to put Zane, F-U, except it wasn't F-U, it was the actual curse word, Amy Sedaris. So that's probably the coolest inscription that I own by far, what you guys got.
Yeah, mine has to do with an F-U, too. This was something that Jeremy got for me in person at his Texas Frightmare. It was Danielle Harris signed in. 8x10 for me. And I think the inscription is I roll with Stacy, Jeremy, and the rest of the Mail Day Mafia. F-U, Blood Spawn, or F-U Spawn. I can't remember what she put, but it was kind of inside jab at Spawn, too, because that's like Spawn's, like, that's like Spawn's Felicia Day.
Yeah, she told me, she goes, I don't even want to know what this means. I was like, yeah, it's better left unknown. I got a couple items that are awesome, just inscriptions. One of them was a TTM I got from Andrew Card. Basically, I had to send him a picture. Basically, he was the one that basically whispered into President Bush's ear that America was under attack. And he inscribed on the 4x6 photo, on 9/11/2001, I told President Bush, a second plane hit the second tower, America is under attack. Then he signed it. So that was real cool that he did that. And probably my next piece I got is, like I said, my Boondock Saints poster, which I mentioned earlier. Sean Patrick Flannery inscribed it. And this is quotes from the movie. Are you ready for this shit, my dear brother? Then Norman Reedus put, let's do some gratuitous violence. It's the elevator scene. Then David Della Rocco put, real men hide their emotions. Why? Because it's none of your effing, not effing, but he wrote out, none of your effing business. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Mike, what you got?
I think I got one that's sort of an FU related one too. In my Red Sox book, there's a section for left-handed pitchers. Johnny Pesky rates them all 1 to 5. Bruce Hurst is 4. Bill Lee's 5. So Bill Lee took the book, he crossed out Bruce Hurst, circled himself, drew an arrow above Bruce Hurst, and then wrote number 4 next to his name, and then signed it, and then continued to have a 20-minute conversation on why he was a better pitcher.
That's awesome.
If you've ever met Bill Lee, I mean, he's a great TTMer too, but if you've ever met him in person, he'll talk your ear off all day.
Spaceman,
yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. All right, doesn't look like we have any questions in chat. I had a lot of comments on what we were talking about, but no actual questions. So,
Kevin had, he wanted to know if Mike's got anybody else from Aerosmith before.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I've gotten them all in certain. Like one time or another, but I don't have a finished piece. I sort of have like odds and ends. So they're going to be in the city now for about 5 days this week, and I'm hoping just to complete one full album. So that's the goal.
You could do like obviously the album, but maybe get some stuff signed for a matte piece, index cards or something like that. I don't know if they signed an index card. But anyways, let's move on.
Did you read that?
What? Oh, yeah. Our chat's being a little ridiculous. This is what you get with a live show. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Star Tiger. If you are an autograph collector, if you're a TTMer, you have to be subscribed to Star Tiger. Star Tiger is the place for celebrity addresses. By far the biggest database. By far the best tools to use. They have pendings, everything else. Great community. The forums are always loaded with people willing to help. Go check them out, guys. Just go to startiger.autographweekly.com. If you go to that link, it tells them that we sent you. Sign up. You're not going to regret it. So many addresses. It'll keep you busy forever. startiger.autographweekly.com. All right, now it's time for our segment, Just the Tip. And this week we have Mike talking about IP tools. Take it away, Mike.
All right. Well, just a few sort of things you guys should know if you're going to go out and go after your favorite celebrity. The first thing, it's the same thing with sort of TTMing, as a matter of just doing research. You know, you're not going to send a really expensive, you know, piece to somebody like Bob Dylan in the mail to his record label. You'll probably never get it back. So it's the same thing with IPs. You got to do your research. And YouTube's a great tool as far as signing habits go, as far as what buses look like. Any sort of research you can do before, you know, heading out onto the street is great. Even forums, like even Write a Star, like I have something like with, you'll find my name on an in-person thread. You can ask me anything if there's, you know, if you're going after somebody, maybe I've had experiences with them. So online, you want to just dig up as much information as you can. That's what I've learned. Another thing too, you have to realize that all these people are real people. They're not like museum pieces that float around to concert venues and whatnot. They're like real people, and they've also had like awful days, and they could be having an awful day right when they get out of the car and they see my ugly face. So some people get real offended, like when they don't sign your autograph. Like me, I never take it personal, so don't take it personal. The person probably isn't a jerk. They could just be having an awful day, and sometimes it's taken me 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times to get a celebrity. But, you know,
I think another really nice tool is to make friends with people who do the same thing as you, mm-hmm. whether it be the internet. And that kind of goes back to what you're talking about, the Writing Star forums. Being in a forum or a community with other people that do the exact same thing, you can talk to somebody before you go out and see if they've encountered those people, like you said. So making those contacts is important, guys. Hanging out on the internet, if you will, with people that you can benefit from, and they can benefit from you since you do the same thing. So I think that's another vital tool you can use.
Yep, and just a couple like quick tips. A lot of it is the language too. Always say, "Can I have your autograph?" Don't say, "Can you sign?" Can just sound very, because you probably are sincere, but sound it. You know, say, "Can I please have your autograph?" And usually they say, "Sure." But if you have a stack of photos and you say, "Hey, can you sign? Can you sign?" That just screams eBay. It screams dealer. And you just got to be careful, because literally 8 out of 10 people, 80 out of 100, the words eBay will come out of the celebrity's mouth to
right.
me.
Right.
So you just have to be careful, and you have to be sincere and seem sincere. And like I said, just realize sometimes these celebrities are on the clock and sometimes they're not. And when they're not on the clock, you just have to be careful and, you know, try to respect privacy as much as you can.
Well, we're going to have Mike on a lot more, and he'll talk a lot more about IPing and some tips here and there for you guys to help you guys out who IP. Because I know our show has been a really TTM-centric the past, 33 episodes. And I think Mike's going to bring a really cool factor to learning how to do in-person graphing. All right, let's move on to the weekly giveaway. This week, last week, we gave away a Black Rain TNA TriStar certified autograph, also known as Gold Dust in the WWF. And the winner is... give me a drum roll here, guys. Pete Terrell. Congratulations, Pete Terrell. Please contact us. Send us a message on Facebook. Just get a hold of us, autographweekly@gmail.com, and we'll get that out to you ASAP. And this week, we're giving away, Jeremy.
All right. This week, we are giving away a custom card signed by George R.R. Martin.
The creator of the Game of Thrones, yes. Guys. I mean, huge autograph. This is a really cool one. A legend, if you will. And you're like, I didn't hear a key word in this show. How am I going to enter this contest? Well, there is no key word this show. We want you guys to go to our website, autographweekly.com, and comment on this show's post. You'll see a post that says episode 33 of the podcast. We want you to post on that blog post anything, a comment about the show. Just as long as you post on that on that one post, you are entered to win. Now, there are a couple places. There's a podcast page we have on our page. We're going to count either one because our podcast does show up on a couple pages. But as long as you post under our podcast, you will be entered to win. So no keyword, guys, this week. We're doing it different. If you want to win the George R.R. Martin signed custom card, again, just comment on the podcast post. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the celebrity deaths. We did have a couple this week. Stage Stallone, who was Sylvester Stallone's son, passed away. Also, Richard Zanuck. He was the producer of Driving Miss Daisy. He also worked on Jaws and The Sting. If you guys, as a tribute, if you want to post any autographs you have of these people on our Facebook wall, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, guys, check out autographweekly.com. Everything's there. The polls, the news, you name it, the fantasy league, everything's there in one place, autographweekly.com. Go check it out. Also, writeastar.com, that's my private address website. $6 for 6 months for celebrity private addresses. Almost 1,000 addresses on there now. It's growing weekly. So go check that out, writeastar.com. Also, identify your autographs on Facebook. That's my little Facebook page that I made to help people identify the unknown autographs in their collection. Just search for identify your autographs on Facebook. And
everything you need to know about me, just go to stacyschaefer.com. I do my weekly giveaway on there, my giveaways link on there. I do a 10-spot interview every week with another collector, so there should be a new one of those up there, hopefully either Monday or Tuesday. Also, back on YouTube after a little break, doing a few things differently on there. My mail day recaps will be on Thursdays and Saturdays ongoing. So if you guys want to see what I get TTM-wise or autograph stuff as far as in the mail or purchases, those will be on YouTube on Thursdays and Saturdays. The other days, Sundays, I'll be doing a show it off. I got my video up today for that. Wednesday, I'll be having another giveaway every Wednesday on YouTube, and then Tuesday, I'll be doing a top five, and Mondays, we just kind of a recap and promoting the podcast. So,
Jeremy,
what about you, Jeremy?
All right, and as always, visit autographboss.com. I do have the updated daily points for the Autograph Weekly Fantasy League. All my daily successes I post on there, I throw scans up. Put them. I got my collection tabs. Everything I get in TTM, I put in there. Check that out. And guys, please comment. I'm always trying to build my site, so please, you know, email me, message me, you know, whatever, just to see what you guys want, what I can add. Because I'm always looking to build my website. And what about you, Mike?
I have absolutely nothing to plug. But I mean, you can definitely find me on the Write a Star forum. Like, I'll be there.
Cool.
Answering any questions and whatnot. Yeah. I probably should get something, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. You should get some kind of just a little side on side.
You gotta have something.
Yeah, so if you guys have any questions about IEP, you can always go to the Write a Star forums if you're a member and ask Mike those questions. I'm sure he'll be happy to answer those. Also, check out Twitter, twitter.com/autographweekly, and of course facebook.com/autographweekly, where all the news is posted. Also check out, oh, by the way, on Facebook, I don't know if many people know this, but I do post all my successes on Facebook. If it's a public address, I release that address in that post. So if you're just wanting people to write to, like ideas, go ahead and follow Autograph Weekly on Facebook, because I post those all the time when I get them in. So kind of free addresses for you guys, good ideas, because you know they're signing if I got them in. Also, guys, for the love of God, go over to iTunes, clicky-clicky the subscribe button to our podcast, and rate and comment, because rating and comment always helps us, boosts our ratings, gets us out there in the iTunes world, and kind of promotes us. I think we were in the new and noteworthy when we started, so we kind of want to get back up there and get into a list where people can find us easier. And guys, we have a little sneak, not preview, but we want to tell you a little bit about an interview we have for you next week. It's David Mickey Evans, the director, writer, narrator for The Sandlot. Amazing interview. You guys are going to be blown away by it. 45 minutes long. It's a long one, but he talks about so much stuff. So look forward to that, guys. All right, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacia Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.